Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Hello and welcome to the Jules Fancast. We're back after it's probably a couple of weeks since our last recording, to be honest, with Jules having a week free due to, well, the previously scheduled fixture against Bury meant that for once we had a week off while the rest of League One carried on doing their stuff, which meant that with the closing of the transfer deadline, it was a quiet week for us. So, yeah, joining me is James Hawkins and Owen Stanley. And we'll start by looking back a couple of weeks. Like I say, it's been a little while since we last played, but we've not spoke about our last game, which was at Priestfield on Wednesday. I can't remember the date, but it was on a Wednesday. We played Shrewsbury, and we won 2-0. Goals scored by Stuart O'Keefe and Ollie Lee. And yeah, it was a good performance that night, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it was the first time that we saw John Kindy. And I think he showed that what we'd been missing. I didn't realise he was that fast. Certainly for the first, for the first goal, but was that the first goal? The penalty, or was that the second goal?
Second.
Oh, I mean, O'Keefe, I think, has injured himself, obviously finishing it. Hopefully he's all right. But yeah, no, McKinley was a handful night, wasn't he? And to be honest, it was a bit of a weird one that. I thought after they'd drawn with Liverpool on Sunday, I thought, come down, I thought it was going to be really tough for us, but we didn't even really get out of first gear, to be honest, and it was quite a comfortable night for us in the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the games where, for much of this season, we found our difficulty in games that we've not been able to score early enough. Whereas this was one of them cases that we did score quite early in the first half, and from then we managed to make games look quite comfortable, don't we?
Yeah, it was a weird game. I think we really pushed on back end of the first half and got the two goals that we deserved at the time based on our level of play. Second half was a bit of a scrappy affair, wasn't it? They picked up a fair few yellows and there was a lot of argy-bargy between players and managers, and Lorraine and Mendel were reacting to that. We had John O'Kindy getting a yellow card for winning the ball, which was, you know, League One referees, not so much more than that. And then we had another instance where he beats their goalkeeper to the ball when their goalkeeper goes down like he's been shot and tries to get Big John sent off, and, you know, it just incites the Rainham end a bit more. And, you know, we had a few half chances in the second half. They picked up a little bit, I wouldn't say enough to really trouble us. And the biggest chance I had in the second half was when it hit the post, and that was about the first minute in the second half. And I think from then on we looked pretty comfortable. We didn't manage to get the third goal to really kill it off, but I think our performance in the first half was enough to get us 3 points in the day, and it was a good result.
Yeah, obviously, Steve Evans took a slightly different approach to his team selection for the Shrewsbury game, because I believe it's the first league game that Brandon Hannon started. Obviously, we've spoke about him previously saying that it looks like that the fact that he started every game means Evans has been relying on him. And obviously, Akindi's come in, and with Robert scoring twice at
Rochdale.
He felt like he had to keep him in the team, so he went with them two up front instead. How do you think we looked without Hannon? Because a lot of people say the thing with Brandon is that he causes a lot of problems with his pace and his power and stuff. Do you think we looked any worse off without him necessarily, or we looked a different kind of threat?
I think we looked a different kind of threat. I wouldn't say that we looked. Yeah, I don't think we looked any worse without Brandon inside, because he's a different type of footballer to Akindi and Roberts. I just thought that we were a little bit more smarter in terms of our running, our build up play. Our play in the final third, Roberts and Akindi were able to hold the ball up and bring people into play. Where if it goes up to Brandon, he has the knack of not being able to hold onto the ball and get us up the pitch. And so yeah, I think the two boys, Roberts and Akindi, I think I can see them being our partnership potentially for the rest of the season now. And I think Brandon might find it hard to get himself back in.
Yeah, what did you make, Owen, of Akindu's overall sort of performance? And his, obviously, it's two games he's had now, two assists, one in each game. Do you think it looks like he is going to be that piece that we've been looking for?
I think so, yeah. First half against Shrewsbury, I tweeted at half time, he was absolutely unplayable. He was giving them so many problems. He had a few half chances himself before winning the penalty, which, you know, given his record, we thought he might have taken, which would have been good for him to get off target and good for me for betting purposes, but it wasn't to be. But yeah, I understand why Lee took it, because we seem to have this system at the minute where you're on penalties until you miss and then it's not over. But yeah, I think to really nullify their defence the way he did, I thought he was superb. I think the most impressive thing about the penalty in general was it gives the defender, I think Marvin Beckles, it gives him a yard. Initially, his defence got a yard on him, he still manages to burst past him at the way I'm coming through. And then, really, for the defender, it's either you bring him down or you concede. And in the end, he did both. So I think he had a really good performance. Second half, he was, you know, putting himself about, won a few balls in the air. Well, say well, a few, won most in the air all night. And then you have to be a bit careful because he was on a yellow card for some of those. I don't think it was a yellow card challenge, as I say, but it is what it is. And then, you know, their players try and target him because they want him to get set up because on the yellow. I think that's only really a compliment to him, that, you know, they're doing all they can to try and get him off the pitch because he's causing them that many problems. But I think, you know, he got his ovation at the end by coming off, I think, an injury time or just before. And I think the only thing missing from his start at Jules is a goal, and I think that's not far away judging performances so far.
Yeah, James, do you think another thing with him is that he will help the other attacking players, probably thinking of more Roberts, and you're looking at Lee probably from the attacking midfield position, that a lot of the time, if we do look for that longer ball into him, it takes two defenders to try and mark him, because if one stands behind him, it will bring it down on his chest every single time. So they have to try and get one in front, one in behind, which then frees up space for some of the others.
Yeah, it does. It creates, I think, Ollie Lee's going to probably really enjoy playing with him. He likes picking up the pockets and in the little number 10 areas, and like you say, he's going to have to, John Kinley's going to either take a full-back in the centre-half with him, or he's going to take a older midfielder in the centre-half with him, and it's going to leave another Jules player spare. And I think that's what he does, and touch on what you're saying there is that he's going to hurt the other forwards. I think his level of experience as well is that his calmness of, I think, certainly the problem we have been this season is that we've got into that fight, we've built up the play really, really well, but we then got into that final third and rushed it, and I think he will bring calmness to our game in terms of that if it's not on, give it to me and I'll build the play back up again. And I think he will help us, I think he will help us on and off the ball, because he isn't like our other forwards where they're not quite smart enough and they won't do the smart running and they won't hold it up when we're under pressure, where he will bring more than just gold to this Jules side, I think.
Yeah, so that was another good home win. Our home form's been good for a while now. And I'm just going to move away from our form as a whole for a second, because I'm going to come back to that. But obviously our focus after that Shrewsbury game turned to the transfer deadline, which was on the Friday, wasn't it? Yeah, because it was the day we left. And yeah, on deadline day, it was just the one arrival, Jordan Graham on loan from Wolves. I've got to be honest, you two might be able to share a bit more than me. I can't say I'd ever even heard of him. So I don't know what you two make of the signing.
I mean, this isn't me saying I know anything about him, because I've got the capabilities to type his name into YouTube. But, he seemed to go down well with the Oxford fans from what I saw last season when, you know, we signed him, those Oxford fans in reply saying, you know, he's a good player, and I saw a few suggesting they would have had him back after they lost Fosu and Batiste to Brentford. So, he's obviously had that terrible injury in him recently, which, you know, you look at as possibly a risk for any player to come back from that sort of injury, but it seems like on his day he can be a really, really good winger at this level. And a lot of Wolves fans said they tipped him to be something really special prior to the injury. And of course, I think I'm right in saying he got injured just before the Nuno Espirito Santo era began at Wolves, and of course that brought a lot of transformation because he was out of that injury, sort of got left behind, so to speak. But, you know, I think he'll be it'll be a good signing for us. I'd like to see players who can get, you know, bums off seats, as it were, and get people excited watching the crowd. I think we need a winner given Mark Marshall's gone, and I think we'll see an exciting winger down at Priestfield, which is something we've lacked for a long time, because Marshall was okay, not really, you know. But you know, if he does rack up the assists that he's managed at other clubs this season, then it'll be just as much a help to the team as he is to John Akinde specifically. Getting an assist in for him, and it could turn out to be like a deadly front three, depending on what formation we play away and what formation we play at home, because he'll be switching between a 4-2-3-1 and a diamond at home, 4-2-3-1 away. And it could be the idea to have him on the wing, or Akinde at top of his own, and maybe Roberts on the left hand side. But we'll soon see, but I'm not exactly an expert on him, but from what I've seen, it looks like a decent enough signing, so yeah, excited to see how he does.
Yeah, that's the question I was going to ask you, James, that obviously the Rochdale game, Evans played the 4-3-3.
Yeah.
Apart from that, it's pretty much been the diamond all the way through this season. So can you see him starting a lot of games? Because we see with Marshall that Marshall was obviously a winger as well, and he didn't really...
No.
I think he only started a couple of games. So do you think Evans is looking to try and use that 4-3-3, but he didn't see Marshall was the right player, and he's now got that?
I think so, because I know an Oxford fan who goes to my uni, and he said that he was gutted that we've gone and signed Jordan Graham, because he said that he was absolutely outstanding at Oxford. And he said he is an out-and-out winger, where he will frustrate at times, where sometimes he should release the ball and doesn't, but he's got unbelievable crossing ability, and he said he can take a free kick as well. Like, his free kicks are brilliant. So, and he said that he will look to get on the ball as much as possible and beat players. And I think maybe Evans has looked at it and gone, yeah, we can provide through John through the middle and give him maybe through balls or whatever, but really we need the crossing ability where he is best at, which is in the air, and we haven't really got that. So I think we might end up changing that diamond potentially, and going to a three with Roberts, Akinde and now Graham. Who fits in there, that behind them, remains to be seen. He might go with Lee O'Keefe Jones, he might go with Leif O'Connor Jones. So the manager's got a bit of a headache now, which is good. He wants that depth. I mean, the area that I'm worried about is the defence, I think.
Yeah, well, I'll come on to that situation in a sec. Obviously, so our two wins this month were Akinde and Graham, like we've touched on.
Roberts.
And Roberts. Obviously, he was much earlier in the window. And going out the other way, obviously, we've spoken about Cisse left to go out on loan to Orient. Apparently, he's doing all right there at the moment.
Yeah.
So
well, that's what we said.
That's no bad thing.
We want to do as well as we can, so they threw in cards to buy him.
Yeah.
Profit.
Yeah. He scored, didn't he? The other day.
Man of the match, didn't he?
Obviously, Lee Hodgson went back to St Mirren.
Yeah. And
Jakubiak. That was a slightly surprising one, I felt. Does it come out of nowhere? Right. I thought we'd keep hold of him.
Well, from the looks of it, it was Watford that was calling.
Yeah.
Not really got really because he wasn't getting game time. But I think he's played in Scotland before, so.
Ron Campbell left as well permanently, which is a bit of a surprising one. But obviously, it feels like it's the best move for his career at this early stage, and that's fair enough. And obviously, one that isn't overly surprising, Bradley Garveston also left and went to Grimsby. Think that's a good move for him, James?
Yeah, I think so. But it's a bit of a shame, Brad, because I actually really, really liked him. And I know you were quite fond of him, weren't you, Reece? And I think he got unfair criticism from the Jules fans. I don't know what you think of him. I'm sure you'll give an opinion in a minute, but I thought the times that I saw him, I thought he was more of a winger than he was a defender. But the injury killed him, and that was the big thing with it. But I don't think it would have been a problem having him round the place just in case we got injuries now, and we've got no fullbacks, and we haven't got a set. Well, we've literally got the back four. and that's the problem with it, is that we haven't got any depth in defensive areas, and that is something I am a tad worried about.
Yeah, because like you say, with allowing Hodgson and Garmson to leave, whatever, it now means that, like you said, we've got the back four that have been playing, and obviously you've got Jones can play there, O'Connor can play there, but that's all we've got to work with. So do you both see it as a drastic issue, or the way I sort of looked at it was that I thought, yeah, by numbers we're worse off, but Garmson was never going to play anyway. Evans made that absolutely clear, I think, in the summary. He went, you are not for me. I think if I only had 10 fit players, I still wouldn't use you. Which is coming as manager.
No,
he don't fancy him.
My argument is that, say Ogilvie goes and gets broken at the next week. What would
he do?
That's the only... I do agree that I think we do need... Obviously, Evans is looking for someone in the free agent market. Right,
well, yeah, it's Fuller. Well, OK, yeah, the better example is Fuller. What if a bad injury happens to Barry?
No, that's,
what happens?
I completely agree that I think we do need someone in. I think we will get someone in. But just the other way I looked at it and thought, is it as much of panic when Garmston and Hodgson weren't even making the bench week in, week out anyway? So in terms of what we've actually been using all season, we've been using this situation the entire season, really, because Hodgson hasn't played, Garmston hasn't played, neither of them have even been seen. So yeah, if one of them gets crocked, becomes a problem. But from August through to now, we've been alright. But it sounds like he is in talks with someone. Position, name remains to be seen. But would you be looking at more of a right back then than a central defender?
A centre back who could play right back, ideally. I think we have enough options to cope at centre half. If it means Jones goes back there, we've got the likes of Pringle, O'Keefe, O'Connor, we can all play that positions. It wouldn't be in the world. But I think when you've got a right back who, as good as Barrett's been this season, you know, he's 36. But he's not going to be full pace, power. The rest of his career, we need someone who can fit in there. And I think the one criticism I've got of Evans this window is, I think he let Hodgson go because he said he did that 7 p.m. thing on the Friday. He said he had a deal secure for someone, the club moved the goalposts. So I think he's let Hodgson go, assuming that would have gone through. And I don't think he should be letting a player go unless you know you've got a replacement ready. Because otherwise you're in the situation we're in now. He said on that day he's going to be in talks with 2-3 agents. Said yesterday one of them fell through. Apparently he wanted, was it a high championship range or something?
That's it.
Obviously
yeah.
The same week I offer. But it remains to be seen who that was. But I don't think it's panic stations just yet. Because I think January is, although it doesn't happen as much in the summer, players do get released from their contracts at clubs around the country. I saw Alan Sheehan was one I looked at, but to come from Luton, but I think he'd probably. I think the thing is, we're looking at more of a squad player than a starter.
Exactly.
Which is.
And it's Bruce's thing as well, isn't it?
I see that man floating around.
Is it a link though, or is it someone just looking at who's out of contract and picking
it? Yeah, maybe.
But no, I do think we need one more to go. Well, I think realistically, we're only going to see one more come in. But like you say, I think it only becomes panic stations if one of them gets injured. At the moment, the same back four have played for... I don't know that. When was the last time them four didn't play as the back four? Probably quite a while ago.
Western Rovers. Because that's when Tucker first came on, didn't it?
Yeah, so it's probably been a good 2-2.5 months that we've been keeping the same back four. And to be fair, fortunately, barring obviously Byrne picked up a bad one and Willock's taken 6 months to come into fitness, but we've done all right injury-wise this season, haven't we? Sort of, O'Keefe might have missed a game, or O'Connor's missed a game, but other than that, we've not really picked up anything sustained, have we? Which has been quite good. Which obviously, apart from Burner, which obviously means that the fitness team, the physios and that, and the training methods are the right ones. Because we've seen in recent years that we've picked up hamstrings left, right and centre, whereas now that isn't a thing. And I think Evans has realised that that can't afford to be a thing with the amount of players he's working with. But on the whole then, a few have come out, a couple have come in so far. Do you think our January window, in the end, a productive one? And we're a better team at the end of January to what we were at the start?
Yes, because we've got what everyone knew we needed. Yeah. Although we've been left a little short, there is time to fix that problem, and I think we will do, because everyone's like, is it stupid, or we have to get someone. As I say, we're not looking for a brilliant defender, we're not looking for someone who's going to be the first name on the team sheet, we're looking for someone who can be there and just happens to be there if he's needed. But I think the big thing is we've got the position we needed. We all knew we needed a striker, we've got that done. We've got what seems on paper an exciting winger to come in. You know, Roberts is one. I looked at the fact that he only played one game all season, it's a bit like there. But from what I've seen, he's done well. He's obviously got two goals already, which is nice, albeit in the same game. And yeah, I think we've got Willock's come back this month finally, fully fit. I think there's a lot of positive signs there. If we just get that reinsurance at the back with three or two, then I think we'll very much be in good stead for the second half of the season. I'd give this window about an 8.5, even though he didn't ask for it.
No, I'll say that. James, did you go along with the same kind of rating?
Yeah, I think so. How many times has this football club not delivered when we've wanted it to in recent years? And we've been crying out for certain positions and it hasn't happened.
Well done, Uncle Paul.
And so, yeah, it's about time, isn't it? It's about time that... But funny enough, that when it's got jobs for your mates and it's Stephen Lovell in his game...
I think that's the thing.
The signings get back, didn't it? Justin got back when he was here, so, and it seems to be when managers come in from the outside, they put a little bit more pressure on the man upstairs, and he ends up delivering, didn't he?
I think this shows what you just saying there, what happens when you have a manager who will put the pressure on you. Yeah. He won't settle for scraps, because a lot of the thing, like, especially last season, their January transfer, people will look at it. Like, oh, we signed six players on deadline, how exciting. I can name about one player who's decent. The rest you can forget, This time, I know it takes a bit of time. Evans has been patient in his targets, he's not letting too much about who he wants. Like, three people for the Akinde thing at the press conference, and lo and behold, there he is. And I think it does show that when you have a manager who's been around the block, you can put the pressure on the chairman, you are going to get results in terms of better signings. Because you can sign as many players as you want, like I just said last January, but if one out of five are decent, then all you've done is waste a wage on players.
Yeah, I would go along with the pair of you that I'd probably say the 8 out of 10 kind of bracket for the window. But so the striker was the... we could have signed... five decent midfielders, but if we hadn't signed the striker, everyone would be saying it's been a bad window. Obviously, Akindi's come in, his early signs have been promising, so let's hope he can sustain that, keep fit, and add goals to go with his assists, and then we'll probably be alright. But moving back onto the on pitch kind of matters, and yeah, like I said, I want to touch on our form, because after the Shrewsbury game, we've ended up with the longest current unbeaten run in the EFL. Yeah, not seen that anywhere. 10 unbeaten in the league. Which obviously we got on to with the win against Shrewsbury. And something I forgot to mention to you two about the Shrewsbury game. Two individuals I wanted to bring up and forgot. Not seen him start many games. Ben Pringle, what did you make?
Outstanding. Really, really good. Look back to how he used to be at Rotherham, and he gives that delivery out on that left hand side, and I thought he was energetic, calmed us down, a real good just composure, experience in there, and seems to link up well with McKinney. I thought outstanding.
Yeah, you'd like to see more of him in the team, Alan?
I think every ball we put into that box to see how play was on point. Right, although sometimes players didn't gamble on it, every ball was into the right area, the right height, right pace on it, really aggressive. I think Evans came out publicly and said he wasn't putting his weight as such in training, which you can kind of understand considering he's just had a kid, priorities and whatnot. But I think he played his way into the team. Evans said to him that Shrewsbury game was his chance to prove what he's about, and he certainly did that. I think he was excellent. I think him and Akinde were our best players. I think we got man of the match that day. Was it Pringle?
I think it was Pringle.
Yeah. It's not often the sponsors actually pick one that everyone agreed to, so that was different. But I think he'll play on Saturday. I'm sure he'll come of it. But I think he's earned his way back into the team. We were wondering in the window if he might be off due to a lack of game time, which has been frustrating for him. But he's recently in that Shrewsbury game, I thought he was absolutely fantastic. He was unplayable. His movement on the ball, his crossing delivery was brilliant. There's something I like about him. I know he's, in what we saw at Wimbledon, it gets a bit too much for him sometimes, but he's a very heart on his sleeve character, isn't he? Like one decision goes his way, he's right up to the ref in his face. But yeah, hopefully it's a good scene. Don't go overboard on that. But yeah, I think he's earned his way into the team at the right time, really.
Yeah, the other one I wanted to mention to you, obviously we'd seen him for 2 minute cameos here and there, but obviously he got half a game against Rugby, was Matty Willock. Yeah, first time we've really seen him for a sustained period of time in a competitive game for Jules. What did you make of him? Some good signs there?
Yeah, really good feet. Yeah, looks, well, he obviously looked fit. Looks like he can, yeah, he'll use the ball well, drive us up pitch. Yeah, shows some real good signs. Certainly when it started getting tight in and around the box, he could certainly beat players. So yeah, I think hopefully he's going to be an asset.
And do you think it is going to be hard for him to break in, or do you think there is going to only be a matter of time now in before he does end up starting games?
Well, judging by Evans' comments before, he was fairly fit, saying he's the best midfielder outside the Championship. I think he'll want to get him in there as soon as he can, because he clearly highly rates him a lot. I think where he fits in, because we have a lot of players in that midfield, especially with Over Diamond, we've got, you know, you expect a fully fit Keith Jones to play, and then Lee, remember Johnson, then they've really got one other spot, which is Prendle Willock. But I think he did well. I think he was on the ball, was very good. I think he seemed a bit cautious to put the afterburners on when he had the ball, but that's understandable because he's just come back from an injury. And I think in time, with more match minutes, he'll be right up there, and hopefully we can stop putting all these 2 week Willock jokes everywhere now.
Yeah, they did start to get quite boring in the end. But no, like I say, we're 10 unbeaten in the league. And we've lost just two of our last 17 games in competitions, which were?
Rotherham.
No, West Ham. No, we didn't. which, when you put that, two defeats in 17, one of which was to a Premier League team, it's some going, isn't it?
And the other one was
the most one-sided game of football you'll ever see in your life. Yeah, we're going well, aren't we? To put it lightly, we're going well.
Yeah, just too many draws. And that's what's killed us. So yeah, if we can stop drawing and turn them into wins, then we'll get the playoffs. Simple as that. If we go and have that record for the rest of the season, but we turn those draws into wins, we'll get the playoffs.
Yeah, so I want to come on to with you to about sort of where roughly you think we're going to end up. At the moment we're 12th on 39 points in 28 games. So considering 39 points at the moment, if we were to make a push for it, with 16 games left, how many points do you think we're going to need to get into that top six?
Early 70s.
Yeah.
I think early 70s, considering everyone plays two less games this season as well. I think 70 will get you close.
I think, yeah.
Very, very close. Yeah. So, yeah, if we could
31 more points. Yeah.
31 points from six. Well, Evans has said, doesn't he, we need 2 points a game, which would get us 32 more points, which takes us to 72, and then you've got a very good chance.
Bear in mind, a lot of teams above us, a fair few of them have to have that weekend off still for very late, and a fair few have to play Chatteras anyway. So I know Sunday Water.
I think the problem is we're gonna fall just short.
The positive for us, though, if you look at our fixtures for the rest of the season, I think we've got quite a lot of the tougher ones out of the way. We've played Posh twice, we've played Ipswich twice, Oxford we've played twice.
Yeah.
And you look at our run between now and the end of the season, it's probably only really Rotherham away and Sunderland away that you'd look at and say, we'll probably lose it. But we've beat Sunderland twice this season. Drawn to them a third time away from home,
yeah.
So we know we don't have to fear Sunderland. Rotherham taught us a bit of a lesson at home, and they're top of the league at the moment, aren't they? They're absolutely flying, so that'd be the tricky one. But apart from that, even your Coventrys, your Burtons, like, are going to be coming on to at the weekend, Doncaster, we can compete with these teams,
yeah.
And that's what, like you said, it's going to be a case of transforming some of these draws into wins against these kind of teams, and then we're going to give ourselves a chance, aren't we?
Yeah.
But do you think, if you look at the squad we've got, the ability it's got, the size of it, do you think it's capable of averaging 2 points a game for these final 16 games and getting there.
I think he's capable, but I think we're too far. I'm not sure we've got the depth to maintain it all the way through. I think we'll go close. I think
we'll take a mammoth process to get there. Also a bit of luck involved in the way of other results. I think we'll just fall short. I think we'll finish 7th or 8th.
Yeah.
Maybe 9th. I don't think we'll be more than 4 or 5 points outside.
It's one of them, though. So as you look at it, like I say, we've lost 2 of our last 17 games. We've got 16 to go. If we only lose 2 of the last 16, I think we're going to be very, very, very close. I don't know.
This next month's pivot, right? Really. Doncaster home, Blackpool away,
Burton. Southend.
Huge games.
If we go this month unbeaten, provided we don't draw, then we'll be in a decent position to come into that.
Yeah, let's come on to it then, because obviously tomorrow starts our next run of fixtures. So we go away to Burton, and like I say, these are one of the teams that if we want to make a challenge for it, we're going to need to beat them. They're a place above us, 2 points above us. But yeah, the problem is, it's an away game where we've only won once all season, but we've also only lost 1 of our last 9 away games, 7 draws. How important is it that we go and get 3 points up here tomorrow?
Quite important, because one, it takes us above the rival table. 2, it's a big second half of the season. If you can start it with getting a win away from home, a brief confidence, we can go out and do it, and we don't have to be so conservative away from home to take the lead and sort of back up a bit and allow ourselves to make silly mistakes. But I think these are the games you've got to win. As always, when you're in a position fighting for the playoffs, you need to not only beat the teams below you, it's more vital that you beat the teams around you, so you take points off them at least. And I think, you know, we've got a bad record away from home, but we've also got a very good record away from home. It's one of the weakest ones we've had in recent seasons. But, you know, I think at home I'd back us to win those games. Away, I sort of feel like we're destined to draw, just given the form vibe. But I think beating a team just above us then puts us, I think, a point ahead of them. They're 2 points ahead. And then if Fleetwood were to lose on Saturday, I think we'd be in the top 10, which is a good incentive as any, really, to push on. But I think it will be a very tough game. I think Burton, I think I might say they've only lost 1 of the last 10 at home, or something like that.
Yeah, they've got a good home form.
You know, they've lost to Ian Boyce, so they've lost to Templeton, which is an advantage to us, but we need to go there and do our job, and if we do, I think we've got a good chance to come away for 3 points. But probably is, I've said that a lot this season. I think when we proved with the Rochdale game, we all thought we'd go there and I thought we'd go there and put them forwards, so they'd be good enough to win the game. When we 2-1 up, I thought we'd be fine from there, and then, you know, little lapses of concentration have cost us 2 points, and those are the sort of games where if we don't get a playoff, so we'll look back on those sort of games of what could have been. We need to make sure this isn't one of them.
Yeah, what do you think it has been with us away from home this season, James? Obviously it is just the one win, but we've also been incredibly competitive. Is it just the fact that it's a problem McKinney's going to come and solve, or do you think there's something else as well that we've just quite cracked it?
Maybe mentally that we have drawn too many games and it's just built up and up and up, and yeah, maybe it's that. Can't really put the finger on it. Is that we're making ourselves hard to beat, clearly, away from home, but yeah, we're not scoring enough goals there. And yeah, maybe it is a strike problem.
Because it's not like we haven't had chances.
No, exactly.
We've only had 2 minutes.
Yeah. So we'll see in the next few games that if the chances fall in his way, or Robert's way, does he score? I mean, we've scored 2 at Watchdale. It's just a shame that our back four decided to
sleep. The first time in ages.
Back five decided to go to sleep that day. So, yeah, it is a frustrating one. But this next month is vitally important and will make or break our season. Make or break our season, definitely.
And what do you think he's going to do with the team? I know there's doubts over Jones and O'Keefe.
I think Jones will be okay because he finished the game with Shrewsbury.
Potentially will it? I think Pringle deserves another start. Mm-hmm.
Do you think he'll keep the diamond tomorrow? And he'll use Graham off the bench to start with?
Potentially.
Potentially, but
who would go in the diamond? Because can you have two left footers in the diamond? Extremely unbalanced, wouldn't it?
It'd be very... If O'Keefe and Jones do miss out, it'd have to be a very attacking midfield.
It would be, isn't it?
O'Connor, Willock, Lee, and Pringle, probably.
Yeah.
So I think that if they were to both, I think the fitness of O'Keefe and Jones might force his hand. If they both miss out, he might have no choice but to go for the three and bring Graham in. He might do that anyway.
I think we're better off being diamond at home or attacking away, because on any day, if our defence is as good as they have been recently, we shouldn't have many problems going the other way. And I think if we have, look at the names we have going forward, that's enough to steer any league one side, especially if Graham does turn out to be the good a player as we hope. I'd probably go with a 1-3-0 team.
Yeah, go
Bottom, Phillip, Tucker, Aimer, Ogilvy, then two holding above O'Connor and Pringle. Not necessarily holding, but you know, O'Connor will go back more than Pringle does. In the 10, I go for Ollie Lee, and from the Graham right or left?
Left.
Left. From the left, I go Graham, right, Roberts, then John King back front.
And Jamesy, let's assume O'Keefe and Jones are fit. Do you stick with Diamond or would you go along the Bowen and play the three?
Play three, go for it.
Yeah?
Yeah, you go for it, yeah, of course you do. Position we're in, what's the point of holding back? At the end of the day, we're not going to get relegated, are we?
Well, I don't know how far we are, Father. That is nice to know that at this stage of the season, that we're not even having to look at how far we are for bottom four. Well,
it's
usually, or bottom three,
should
it's I
usually
say.
Four.
We're on 39.
Yeah. Okay. I look at the Rochdale game when we played that attack. Like, could be our defence weren't the best that day. Like, we saw it, like, quickly we counter attacked him. Like, I think there was a chance when it just turned 2-1 when Roberts had handled one side and Kinde the other. I don't want to play because it's not a hat trick, so boy, for a guy, yeah. But that shows the options we have really counter attack. Well, we have, I think we can get them 3-2 quite regularly, like, players inside. You know, with that sort of options, we are going to be lethal away from home, especially. I think it's always we. It's always a defend properly, but then if O'Keefe and Jones are out, then we have much choice but to play a more attacking midfield just because of the options we have. But you know, you're going to leave yourself open about either of them two, not that it's anything we can really do anything about. I do think I'm going to go for that, yeah.
And finally, a score prediction from you, O.
2-1 Gills.
Yeah.
2-1
Both scorers?
Kindy.
They can be both.
Lee, P, and O'Connor.
O'Connor, that's a bug shout.
That age to someone like a shot, attack the rebound.
Yeah, he has scored this season, hasn't he? Mm. Yeah, well.
We're doing quite well with penalties at the moment.
I'll go 1-0 a Kindy from Graham Cross. That's what we'd like to see, isn't it?
I won't be better looking there to take penalties this week.
But no, let's hope we're right and we kick off February in perfect style and really push on in what's going to be an interesting final 16 games of the season. It's going to be
stressful.
Full throttle for the entirety, I think, as we try and lay seeds to the top six, whether it's in our reach, whether it's capable, who knows. But yeah, it'll be interesting, and let's hope we can start with 3 points at Burton tomorrow. Until then, up Jills.